He said, well, my wife left me for a prince, said she'd kissed enough of my kind. So, and that goes back to the cartoon up front, and you'll understand it. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Heinz. I'm going to have the opportunity to lead discussion today, but just as we lead into that, we're going to have an opportunity for a free will offering tonight. And I'll just remind you, many of you are aware that the free will offering is primarily used for honorariums for our speakers, though that won't pertain to Dr. Laklama tonight. So we appreciate your just helping facilitate the Apologetics Forum continuing on. Our resources are brought not only from the free will offering, but also from the book table sales. So with that, we're going to give the opportunity for the next minutes. If there are any questions, then I can bring the microphone to you, and Heinz is still wired to give responses if you have those questions. Anyone?
I noticed that Lucy had human-looking eyes, and I just saw a film that mentioned Lucy, and I thought maybe you could talk about that just a little bit.
Which film was that? On a secular view?
No, on a Christian.
Okay.
Yeah, Paul Taylor, actually. And he talked about the eyes. And
yeah.
And when the artists do the eyes, they look like human-looking eyes,
yeah,
because they have the whites of the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But then gorillas and such, apes, do not have the whites. They have black eyes. So that's a rendition from the artist.
Well, that goes to all the things that have been modified in that in the museum. They portray a picture that looks halfway in between an ape and a human. And so they have to come up with something. I'm sure it doesn't look exactly like a human eye. I mean, the artist would draw it somewhere in between the two. And, like with the amount of hair, they have no way of measuring that because hair is not preserved in a fossil. So they have to guess at it because they assume evolution is true. And so they draw something that makes you think evolution is true.
Someone else?
Quick question. When was Lucy born? How many millions of years was it?
Well, it depends which parts of Lucy you're talking about.
Right? Any part.
Yeah. Well, I think they're thinking between 2 and 3 million secular scientists.
So here's my comment.
Sorry?
Where are all the rest of the human beings that have died since? Where are the bones?
Yeah, well, they have found other fossils, which they claim are other intermediates. I mean, you can look at some of those, pictures which map the different human fossils, but it's guesswork. It depends on which layer of the geology they found the fossil in the first place.
Then I have another comment. I'm a Norwegian of origin, and in the north part of Norway, there's an island halfway up towards the North Pole. It's called the Svalbard Islands, and there are massive coal reserves in that island, and they've been digging for coal there for years. And back in the 50s, they were about 500 feet down in the ground, and they found a petrified palm trees with coconuts on them.
Oh, yep.
Just for your information. It's interesting because it is almost at the North Pole.
Yeah, and that's not unfamiliar. I mean, there's other finds at the deeper layers which they're surprised at, and that's just one of them.
There was another hand. Question?
So before your presentation, you qualified it by telling us your experience, your expertise.
Yeah.
What expertise does Darwin have?
He trained... going on the trip, mostly. He had some training in naturalism, but he started out training as a pastor.
That was out when he came back.
Yeah, And it turns out, you'd be surprised how many people start out training to be a pastor, a minister of the word, and then went off in different directions, maybe Marx and other people like that as well.
Additional questions? Yes.
I just had a general comment or thought when you were talking about the usefulness of the evolution as a theory, and I was sort of thinking about Einstein's comment about relativity, and he said, he was more, in some sense, more honest, said, no number of experiments could prove my theory correct, and only one could prove it false.
Correct. Yeah.
So we're kind of in a situation, if you listed for usefulness or however the theory of relativity and compared it to evolution, there'd be dramatic differences.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's helpful for people who are trying to rationalize this and understand it, who are not, whether they're believers or not, just trying to intellectually understand what's going on. And the other concern I have is that if you're a student and you go to college today and you start talking the way with the ideas that you're exposing to, you'll probably flunk your biology class and maybe get kicked out of school. So there's a real sinister aspect going on that at some level is very scary, because academic departments are no longer institutions of free inquiry, they're dogma. And I see it, I have grandchildren too, I'm sure you worry about your grandchildren, how they're gonna get educating it through school. So could you comment on how that relates to your children or your grandchildren's generation and where this is all headed?
It's a concern that we all have, for our children and our grandchildren. And of course, that's one of the reasons why I do this, because fortunately I've had the background of a scientist and of a Bible teacher, and so I know what the issues are, and I feel it's my duty to impart that knowledge to our children and grandchildren. There happen to be a row up front here, my interested children and grandchildren who are listening, but they've benefited from that, because they get persecuted in school too. They get docked. Their grades will be lower if they come up with an answer that the teacher doesn't want. I don't know if you saw the video that we showed last month, in a classroom where the teacher taught evolution, and he said, I know you students don't believe in evolution, but we have evidence and you have no evidence. But it turns out, when the students asked him the questions, show us the evidence, he couldn't answer them. So the teachers only teach what they themselves have been taught. And they don't know what really is true. And I've seen that too in some of my lectures. In fact, I gave a lecture like this in Bulgaria a number of years ago to a secular audience in a university. There's one man in the audience he's a retired biology teacher, and I spoke against evolution, giving many of the same reasons here and a few others, and he listened very intently, and he said, he said to some of his colleagues, I'm sorry I taught all these students these errors, and he asked me, if you come again, can I take you to my city, where my students now are, because they are teachers themselves, and they're teaching evolution. And so I got the opportunity to give a lecture in those schools without mentioning the Bible, because you can't do that. But when I got through, they asked the right questions. They said, I know you don't believe in evolution, so how do you believe we got here? And so that opens the discussion. Once they ask, you can go down that road.
Time for a closing question.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Otherwise, I'll turn things over back to Heinz, who wants to introduce the next month's session.
Yeah. Okay, so just to to wrap things up, I covered just four science reasons why evolution is not good science. I mentioned that book called Exploring Evolution, written by a local author here. And he actually lists 77 different reasons. You know, if you put up that last slide there on the presentation, 77 scientific reasons why evolution is not good science. And that I found very useful. He himself is not a deep scientist, but he points to the science experts in their fields and said, here's why these 77 reasons are not good arguments for evolution. And so you might want to look at that book there. And there's a bunch of other books too. I find that the best apologists are those that used to believe in evolution and now believe in creation, because a student challenged them and said, so what's the evidence for evolution? Well, he couldn't answer that. He had to go investigate. John Sanford, one of the key creation scientists here, he wrote a book refuting evolution, but he used to believe in evolution. He's one of the best apologists because he understands both sides of that argument. My lecture here gave you just four specifics a little deeper on, but these are the four biggies that I consider are hampering our kids' belief systems. Next month, we have Vince LaPointe speaking, and he's going to answer the question, can you believe the Bible? And if you read what he's got on his flyer on the event description, you'll see that he didn't grow up in a Christian family, but he came to believe because once he examined the evidence, he said, yep, the Bible really is true. And he's going to give these five reasons why he believes the Bible is true. And so that's tied in with what I covered here today.